Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Of course, by now, the rest of the common market countries will have realized how lucky they are that Britain has joined them. Britain has so much to offer the world.
I agree. Who else but the British could have built a vast motorway system, regardless of cost, covering the entire country where it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter which motorway you take, you end up stuck in a gigantic traffic jam at either end.
Who else but the British have an organization respected and revered for its blinding and remarkable efficiency, such as the Gas Board?
Well, here you are, Guck. One gas poker fitted and in full working order, Mr. Hayes.
It's Mr. Haynes, actually, and thank you so much.
Of course, it was the manufacturer's fault in the first place that it took us 6 months to complete fitting the poker. I mean, we've been here often enough, Mr. Hayes.
Haynes, actually, and yes, you have.
Yeah, well, you'll be able to get somebody in to tidy up them floorboards, will you, Mr. Hayes?
Haynes, actually, and yes, of course. Yeah. Now we've got a fire, we shan't notice the draft so much. Here's something for your trouble.
Hey? Oh, well, I won't go too far these days, but it was a very nice gesture, Mr. Hayes.
Haynes, actually, and I'm so sorry.
Well, one gas poker well and truly fitted to the customer's satisfaction. Right, on to the next job. It's a gas lighter. Come on, Fred, Charlie, Harold, Cyril, Algy, Cecil, George,
and who else but the British would have an internationally renowned institution such as the public house? Its atmosphere is always warm, intimate, friendly, and welcoming.
Time, gentlemen, please. Finish your drinks, please.
Time!
That can't be right, madam. That can't be right. Here, hang about. Here's this one, two, three of you. I want to speak to the one in the middle.
Let's have your glasses, please.
I'll have a bath and a bitter. Yeah. Can I have half a bitter, please?
No, it's long past time. Come on, drink up. Let's have your glasses, please.
Yeah, hang on, with me. I make yourself half a minute to go. So can I have half a bitter, please?
I've already told you no. Now, empty your glasses, please. Come along, drink up.
I only want half a bitter.
I've already told you. No drinks after time. Now, drink up. Let's have your glasses.
Well, I mean, that was pretty rotten, I must say. How dare you treat a crangular customer, how a regular customer like that?
I'm not a regular customer. No, in case you didn't know, I'm the landlord.
But we do have the finest navy in the world, and even they had their problems. I mean, problem. HMS Troutbridge, the one ship they wish they'd never launched. Worse still, they wish they'd never sent her on a goodwill mission with the rest of the squadron who were anchored off Gibraltar. At this very moment, an urgent top-level meeting is taking place at naval headquarters.
Quiet, a lot of you. Oh, do leave off. Oi, I'm the Admiral and this is my meeting. So shut your clattering cake holes.
Right, that settles it. I've had enough.
Steward, lock up the booze.
That always does it.
Right, fair enough. You can open the bar again.
Now, I want to introduce our honored guest, whose name totally escapes me.
I'm Mr. Geoffrey Titchwell, actually, and I'm the Assistant Undersecretary to the Peacetime Naval Commission.
Oh, well, stop bragging about it. Who's this sexy bird?
Oh, I'm so sorry. She's my personal relations secretary.
Oh, whatever you say.
Miss Astrid Feltbody. She ought to promote me at all times and take everything down.
Really, Mr. Titchwell, there's a time and place for everything, and now is not the time or the place for... Yes, I have my pencil and notebook ready.
Now, the code name of this operation is codenamed Showcase. It's to be a demonstration to convince the world the British Navy is still a power to be reckoned.
Well, I should say so. I mean, there was that destroyer, Captain in Weymouth, and what he didn't. Shall I start taking everything down now? I've got my notebook and pencil ready, Mr. Titchwell.
Oh, yes, well, that settles it. Now we all know what Miss Feltbody's doing here.
Yes, yes, big guns, yes.
That's done it.
Yes, yes, often done it in Cairo. no triggers there. No, no. My word, what a sight you're after.
Landbridge?
Huh?
No.
Thank you, Admiral. Now then, where was I, Miss Feltbody?
Well, Jeff, Mr. Titchwell, you were suggesting we should hold a demonstration to show that all you represent is a power to be reckoned with.
Really? Astrid, our personal relationship has nothing to do with that any one of the foreign powers who may be watching this demonstration of British naval strength.
Excuse me, I'd like to make a suggestion.
Who the devil did that?
I'm afraid it was me, Captain Hetzerson. And I must apologize that I'm suffering from a particularly vicious attack of Eva. Excuse me.
Oh, creeping ivy. One sentence from him, and there are so many germs floating about in this room, they're all banging into each other.
It's all very well for these politicians, but I've come here to talk about their demonstrations, and I suggest that in order to advance this conversation, that we should take immediate action. Mr. Titchwell, what exactly do you propose, Mr. Titchwell?
Well, naturally, I'm always open to interesting proposals.
So am I.
Oh! Change of Nelson's knickers. Look, it's all agreed that my squadron of ships are going to lay on a show of strength to show the foreign mutt that we, the Royal Navy, are still a power to be reckoned with and not to be mucked about with. Right. Is that the end of it? Because if we don't get a move on, the boozers will be shot. Oh, Lord. Switch him back onto 33 and a third, somebody.
Now, look here, Commander Weatherby. You may be head of security, but you're holding us up. Now, do you agree with us?
I'm dreaming of the quiet. Not exactly. I'm always thinking of you. As security is my response. Security is my response.
At last. Now, Miss Feltbody, where were we up to?
According to my notes, we only need Captain McDoom's agreement on the matter.
Well, amnesia, sure, this is not a disaster course. It reminds me of Balmoral, 1953, and the Highland Games. I didn't like that, and I didn't like this, as sure as the sun never sets on the Laird Spurran. I can sense gloom and darkness in the air all about us, and I'll tell you by the chieftain's claymore, we rule the day, we say yea or nay.
What were you saying, Captain McDougal? There was young Charlie McSwell of the McSwells with his javelin in his hand.
Hell-bent on showing his prowess in front of the milling crowds. I said, did not do it, Charlie, did not do it. Your javelin's too long.
I tell you that this Charlie McSwell of the McSwells wrecked himself, or you wouldn't be enjoying your gruesome story so much.
Aye, that he did, that he did. He loathed the English so much that with his Scottish hopes high and his desperate intent to win, with his javelin upright, he ran forward a few steps, tripped over a tent peg, and sassanacked his future hope.
Can anybody tell me what the story of the McSwells, has got to do with the suggestion for maneuvering
ships? Oh, no, don't bother. I doubt if he's stopped yet. Right, we're all agreed. Operation Showcase Royal Navy is on.
The only one snag, Admiral, is a little delicate.
What's that?
The Ministry of Defense feel that it would be safer, better, if HMS Troutbridge didn't take part. How do you suggest we keep it from them?
Well, no problem. We don't tell them a blind word. And the rest of the fleet sails in the middle of the night when they're not looking.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Phillips.
Good morning, Padre.
How right you are. What a heavenly day.
Oh, please, Padre, not so early in the morning.
Oh, dear, Mr. Phillips, I do trust you didn't look upon the wine too unwisely last evening.
No, Padre, it was a shandy. I broke my rule. I had two. In fact, you could say this morning that I'm suffering from one over the one.
In it, your own conscience be, Mr. Phillips. I shall pretend never to have heard that.
Oh, good morning, gents. Both assembled.
One wouldn't like to suggest kippers as they're off. In fact, even more off than they were yesterday, sir. As the lad from the engine room found out to his cost.
Oh, yes, sir. I meant to ask, how is he?
Nobody can know, sir. Nobody's seen him. Not since he ate them anyway, sir.
Ooh, canasty. So that's why you're acting as the bastard.
Pardon? Ooh, it's been laughable, sir, yes. One thoroughly recommends the grapefruit, sir, because the slices come out of the tin that one opened oneself.
Well, I think that I shall skip the starter.
Right, sir.
Now, I don't want to be greedy.
No, sir.
I shall just have 4 rashers of bacon, 2 poached eggs, 6 sausages, 3 tomatoes grilled, 1 spoonful of kidneys, 2 spoonfuls of mushrooms, 4 slices of fried bread lightly done, 8 pieces of toast, 1 pound of butter, both sorts of marmalade, 1 pot of coffee, and 1/2 pint of cream on the side. On the side.
Slimming again, Padre.
All right, you may just come in, chaps.
Oh, by all means, Commander Murray, sir, but don't expect the Padre to say anything. He'll probably have his mouth full.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but has anyone else noticed? It's terribly quiet outside. Not so much as a whoop, whoop, whoop. Anywhere?
No.
Padre, your snackette.
So kind.
No, in fact, I'm worried. There hasn't been a whoop, whoop, whoop all night.
Well, what's worrying you, sir?
It's nothing. It's just that all the other ships of the squadron seem to have disappeared.
What?
Look through the porthole for yourself.
Lummy. Or is it gosh? You're absolutely right. They've all gone. 17 little tin-bottom Mari Celestes.
Everything's all gone.
No, it's the same every mealtime, sir. Every mealtime. Al the Padre packs his nosh away at such a speed, heaven only knows. But then, of course, he's much nearer to it than we are.
Behind the Padre's grub, where's the rest of the squadron? Mr. Phillips, are you sure that there isn't a little signal from Naval HQ that you haven't liked to tell me about?
No.
Can you tell me why 17 other ships of the squadron have vanished overnight?
No.
Then have you any explanation at all as to what's going on?
Yes.
Good. What is it?
I have no idea.
You must know something.
That's probably the silliest remark you've ever made in your life. Your kippers, Mr. Phillips.
Now, all I know is there was a signal a few days ago saying that we and the rest of the squadron were an operation showcase, that we were to demonstrate the power of the British Navy at Port Akbar in front of the world's top politicians and forces chiefs. Since then, nothing.
Anyway, old love, I really can't listen to you waffle on about some stupid memo from the Sea Lords. You'll just have to deal with it yourself. Well, I have an important tennis match this afternoon. The first thing's first, so it's no use trying to lob that memo over the net into my court. Oh, and rumbling Roger Taylor's to you, old sport. Do what? Not likely. My tennis racket costs money.
More trouble, Deacon, old flimsy.
Oh, does it ever stop, Burkett, old tennis socks?
You showed him, though.
That I did. I tickled it straight back down his tram lines.
Good for you, old catgut strings.
I say, well, Burkett, old chap, I must tell you this one before I forget.
Oh, not another one of your super jokes.
Yes. I made it up without telling you when we were changing behind the deck chairs in the park keeper's hut after our last game.
I thought you were a bit pensive.
Oh, I was. Anyway, see how this one grabs you.
I'm sold already.
Well, now, it appears that last year at Wimbledon, in the dressing room, Ken Rosewall's old racket was talking to his new racket.
I like it. Super.
No, I haven't finished it yet. Anyway, the old racket said to the new racket, "You're terribly unfriendly today. What's the matter? Got first match nerves?"
Super! That's even better.
I still haven't finished it yet. And the new racket said to the old racket, "What the deuce, old love? It's not my fault that you caught me when I'm feeling so highly strung."
No. Sorry. It's not as funny as the first bit.
That's always been your trouble, hasn't it? No sense of humour.
Well, I laughed at your last joke about the cat saying to the other cat, "Just as Christine Truman served a half volley, my old man's in that racket." Great Perry only knows that one was weak enough.
Excuse me, Lieutenant Deacon.
Oh, washed out Wimbledon weeks, more trouble.
Well, I realise that you're urgently wanted on the council tennis courts, and I'm not throwing a Virginia Wade on because you didn't ask me to make up a threesome, but this signal's just arrived, and it's even urgent.
Oh, Rippy Rod Labour's a cheeky thing. What's happened now?
Hard courts, old Deacon. Nothing serious,
no,
I hope.
No, not really. It's a silly old naval thing, Operation Showcase. You know where the fleet's supposed to fire all their weapons and missiles and dummy ammunition.
I heard about it too, you know.
Yes, you would. Anyway, apparently the local mayor or somebody of Port Akbar has objected to it because his wife can't stand loud bangs. So the whole operation's been moved to Valencia, simply miles away around the other side.
What's that got to do with you, old Deacon?
Well, apparently I've got to send a signal diverting the fleet round there. But it also says that under no circumstances must I let Troutbridge know.
Well, they're not supposed to be in on the operation anyway.
Right. Well, I'll tell Amy on the way out. Come on, it's your turn to carry the rackets. And incidentally, it's your turn to buy the ice cream.
No, it isn't. I bought it last time.
No, you didn't. That was the time before. No, and incidentally, when will you remember that I like it raspberry flavored, not banana?
Fair enough, but you pay for the bus ticket.
Your third breakfast, Hargrave.
They're so kind. I do hope you've only made it the two rash of the bacon and one poached egg. One has to remember that one's digestion is not quite what it used to be. Used to be.
Well, I'm a bit worried that there's no sign of the fleet coming back. Why didn't they let us know they were going to Port Akbar?
I just thought it was quite obvious, sir. The Ministry of Defense were terrified. We show up the rest of the fleet with our blinding efficiency.
Yes, yes.
Just how petty can you get?
Still, just to be on the safe side, better check with the WT room again and see if our sailing orders have arrived yet.
No, I mean, not again, sir.
Righto.
WT room, who's that?
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips in the wardroom. Any urgent signals?
No, like there wasn't 5 minutes ago either, sir. And like there wasn't every 5 minutes before that.
Oh, just thought I'd ask.
This is ridiculous. I mean, this is all very well, Barry. You may be commanding officer of this ship, but I am the senior captain here, and I insist that you take action straight away.
Well, it's all very well, Captain Purvey, but we have no sailing orders, so what do you suggest we do?
It's perfectly obvious to me that there's been a slip-up by those administrative twits in the Ministry of Defense. Now, I insist that we take part in Operation Showcase. Sail to Port Akbar at once.
Well, Vice Admiral Prout, I think we can safely say that Operation Showcase was an outstanding success.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Titswell, it couldn't have gone better.
Exactly. I also think that we can safely say that this demonstration convinced the world that Great Britain is still a naval power to be reckoned with.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Vice Admiral Prout.
Yes, of course I do, Mr. Titswell, but with one small exception. I didn't see the demonstration. Now, you'll probably think that I'm just a silly old fool who doesn't need to see Operation Showcase. Well, of course, you may be right, but I happen to think you're wrong.
How dare you think of me as a silly old fool, eh? In future, I'll trouble you to keep your stupid opinions to yourself, and I'll have you know that I'm as much right to see Operation Showcase as everybody else, probably more so. So let that be an end to it!
Dear, the Admiral warned me about your liver after all that gin. I gather you can sole and heel army boots with it.
Anyway, the squadron are back in Gibraltar. But the strange thing is, there's no sign of HMS Trackbridge. She seems to have sailed.
Really? Sail? She can't have done. She didn't have any sailing orders. Where on earth can those idiots have gone to?
Gosh, or should it be Lummy? I like Port Akbar.
Oh, that's all very well, Mr. Phillips, sir. But how do you know it is Port Akbar? I mean, where's the rest of the fleet?
Bad navigation on their part, Chief. They've lost their way.
But we can't just sit here because the rest of the fleet haven't arrived. All the top politicians and forces chiefs are expecting a demonstration.
But we can't do anything without orders, Captain Purvey.
Can't buddy. The eyes and ears of the world are looking at us and listening to us. As part of the Royal Navy, we cannot let them down. But the target ships are all there.
They look funny target ships to me. They look more like fishing boats.
Mr. Phillips, there's nobody aboard them, so they are obviously the target ships. A demonstration has been arranged, and a demonstration there will be. It's up to HMS Trutbeach to uphold the tradition of the Royal Navy.
Yeah, but, Captain Purvey, don't you think we ought to
wait until... Commander Murray, I am fed up with dealing with fools and imbeciles. Once and for all, you may be the commander of this ship, but I am the senior officer aboard, and I am ordering you to open fire on those target ships.
I wouldn't do that, sir. I wouldn't do that, sir. They look more like fishing boats to me.
Be quiet and open fire.
But you can't do that, sir. Who ever heard of a silent whiz-bang all-gone fishing boat?
Don't argue with me. I am ordering you to open fire.
But suit yourself, sir. Be it on your own head. Open fire, fire, fire!
don't think what you've got all over your face is tartar sauce, either.
Shouldn't you have ordered us to fire dummy ammunition, Captain Purvis?
Oh, good grief! I forgot all about that. I'm ruined. I've sunk a fishing fleet. I'll never get my pension now. Yes, I will. Because there are no witnesses that I've sunk them.
Oh, yes, there are, sir. Three of us, sir.
You are the senior officer.
As you kept telling us, sir. But I can't be court-martialed. I am a happily married man. I mean, well, I didn't mean it seriously, did I?
No.
Oh, Commander Murray is the senior officer of this ship, isn't he?
No.
But we've always been friends, haven't we?
No.
I've always stuck by you through thick and thin in the past, haven't I?
No.
Oh, come on, chaps, get me out of this.
Not flaming lightly. Blow you, Jack. We're all right.
Leslie Phillips and Stephen Murray have been demonstrating their firepower in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, Richard Caldicott was Captain Povey. Heather Chasen was Astrid Feldbody, Tenniel Evans was Lieutenant Deacon, Michael Bates was Lieutenant Burkett. The announcer was Barry Haynes. The show was produced by Alastair Scott Johnston. Richard Caldicott is now appearing in No Sex, Please, We're British at the Strand Theatre. And Leslie Phillips is in The Man Most Likely To at the...